على محمد ومحمد.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
صل على محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله. He granted us another opportunity to be together in the name of Imam Hussein, and inshallah on the path he has laid for us with his sacrifice and with the battle of Karbala, where he sacrificed his family, all what he belongs to him. Inshallah, all of us are trying to move on the same path and to understand Islam and to understand the religion which he has sacrificed his life for. Fortunately, in this world now, after 1400 years, no one can now hide the sacrifice. Though some of the enemies of Imam Hussein tried to hide their sacrifice in the earlier time, but now it's alhamdulillah obvious, very clear, no one can deny this, and the message of Imam Hussein has spread, at least in the shape of the memory or memory of the event of Karbala. Now what's remaining, I think, is to understand what is the main essence of Karbala, what is the main message behind his sacrifice, and what we should learn from that great event, how we can adopt that event in our life. And we have a few remarkable sentences in ziyarat, in du'as, as I mentioned earlier last night. Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa afuza ma'akum. A desire that, and a wish to Allah, that I may be with them and get success. Then we have another sentence, great sentence, inni silmun liman salamakum harbun liman harabakum. I will be with peace with those who had peace with Imam Hussein, and I will be at war with those who had war with Imam Hussein. Now sometimes I had ideas, how can it be? I cannot be in Karbala and I cannot be at war with those who fought with Imam Hussein. Naturally it was in the history, I cannot go back to the history. Then gradually I realized that this sentence never goes back to the history, just it gets a message from history and takes us to the future. And these two sentences, at least, these are the strategic sentences, these are the plannings which those who fought war in the Karbala are giving us for our lives. So you say, "Inni silmun liman salamakum harbun liman harabakum." I will be at peace with those who had peace with Imam Hussein. Now, not only personalities, those personalities are no more here. And there is no Yazid, there is no Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, no Umar ibn Sa'd, no Shimr. Not only the personalities, but the ideas behind those personalities, the characters behind those personalities, the qualities behind those personalities. These are the issues which have been mentioned in these sentences. So I will be with those who had friendly relation with Imam Hussein. Not the personality, because I said they are normal here, but the characteristics. Kindness was in the army of Imam Hussein. There was peace and sacrifice in the army of Imam Hussein. They were brave, and with those qualities and people who possess those qualities, I am going to make an agreement with them. Okay, I will be with them. So if you see bravery in the army of Imam Hussain, you choose this quality for yourself. And if you see sacrifice in the army of Imam Hussain, you opt for being a good person and to give sacrifice in your life for your religion, for your ideologies. And against that, you said, وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ هَارَبُكُمْ, I will be at war with those who had war with Imam Hussain. So, who had war with Imam Hussain? Who fought with Imam Hussain? Those personalities, they died. But their qualities are still there. The greed, which actually brought those guys against Imam Hussain. The material desires, the vain desires, which brought those guys against Imam Hussain, they are still here. So, you... At the end, I came to the conclusion that still we have Karbala. It is here. And you have that famous sentence, كُلُّ يَوْمٍ أَحْشُرَى وَكُلُّ أَرْضٍ Karbala, that every day is Ashura, and every piece of land is Karbala. How it comes? This is not Karbala, this is not Ashura, this is another day, this is another piece of land. But if you see the real game, the essence of battle of Karbala, it is still here in every day of our life. In every piece of land, in every geography, it is here. Because they fought for the right thing, and you are fighting now for the right thing. And they avoided battle, they avoided the dictatorship of Yazid, they avoided the distortion in the religion by Yazid, and now you are facing the same you see, cruel reality in your life now. So, still you have this battle going on in your life. So, I prefer and I ask myself at least to recite Ziyarat-e Ashura every day. Why? Because this Ziyarat-e Ashura gives you a message. You have this war. You are still waging the war. You are inside it. And if you go through the battle of Karbala and you get the essence, and especially the characteristics of personalities, which I mentioned earlier, you get the analysis of the personalities of the Battle of Karbala, and you choose for yourself the guideline. So you have Hazrat Qasim, you have Hazrat Abbas, you have Hazrat Ali Akbar, you have companions of Imam Hussain. See closely how they were, and what made them those characters, how they performed it. And then you can very well see in your life what you have to do in your life. You have a very limited time, and this is very precious time for you. I don't know why when we go to a project in our material life, we plan for it, and we have a strategy, we have strategic management, and we have weaknesses, we have strengths, and we have this and we have that. And when we come to the essence of our life, we have no planning. We have no strategic dialogue. We have no management. And for example, for a very small scale, a plan of for a very small scale of project, you have so many papers filled and written, and you prepare everything. But for your own self, for your home, you draw the pictures, you ask architect, and you pay so much of money to prepare the planning. But for your own life, this structure will not last forever, but you will last forever. You're not here to die and finish. You are forever. You will just change your I and you will change our stages of existence. This is what Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, Mufassir al-Quran, used to say. We are not going to die and finish. We will die and we will change our status. For 50 or 60 years or so, less or more, we are here, and after that time we will go to another stage. And after a few years more than that, we will go to another stage. So we are not fani, that is going to die and finish. But we are baqi, we will live forever. But just we will change our status. And For a home or for a house which will not last forever, which will be destroyed sooner or later, you plan so much. And for your, for example, career, and for your job, for your business, we and I and you plan so much. But when it comes to our life, which is very precious for us, there is no another chance for us to pass it again, then I don't know how we accept it not to be planned. So first thing, we should plan. First thing I think we should plan for it, and planning must take us to the path which we have preferred in our sentences. You have preferred the life of Imam Hussain or so many other people. If I ask you whether you want to be George Bush or Imam Hussain, whom will you prefer to be? Or for example, Clinton or the other famous faces of the world, or any other face better or not, and compare it with Imam Hussain, of course you will say, I want to be Imam Hussain. How do you want to be Imam Hussain? Without planning? So first thing, I think we should plan for it. And the second thing, as in the worldly plannings, not in a single day you will do everything, but every single day is very important. This is a lifetime job. If you want to be Imam Hussain, if you want to be a companion of Imam Hussain, if you want to have, or you like to play the role of, for example, Habib ibn Mazahir, or Muslim ibn Awsaja, or for example, Zuhair ibn Qain, and you like to do this, Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum, you say that, then you should plan and don't waste a single day. Though in a single day you will not change it, but every single day is precious. Because you don't know whether you have the another 24 hours or not. So every single day become very precious. So this is Muharram, starting of Muharram. You may plan yourself, what I will do in the next, for example, 10 days to be closer to Imam Hussain. So what we said yesterday, get the personalities, look at them closely and see how they change themselves. If there were 72 people around Imam Hussain, then we have 72 very, very important experiences. They were not angels. They were not innocent. They were just like us human beings. How they transformed themselves from being normal person to a companion of Imam Hussain, and then when they became companion of Imam Hussain himself said, I had exceptional companions. No one had the privilege of having those companions which I had. So he said, even the Holy Prophet did not have such good companions which I have. So, I think it is disconnected. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, if you want to be there, you have to plan for yourself, and you have to see closely how they became themselves. And the last point in this regard, sometimes a few of my friends ask me, is it very complicated? I said, no, it's not very complicated. It should be very simple. It should not be very complicated. Because you see, if I ask you to go and, for example, take a flight from this country to that country, and you will fly the aeroplane, okay, this is a very big job, and you need training, and you need everything, and you cannot do this very simply. Not everyone on the earth can do this. But if Allah has sent you on this earth, and He asked us to do, each and every one of our person has been asked to do this, it should not be very complicated. Otherwise, why Allah has asked us to do this? What is the simple option? How it becomes simple when very few will make it? Just don't accept excuses in yourself. Make the simple decision. Is it good to do? Is it right to do? If it is good, and in the inner self or yourself says that it is good, then do this. And if your inner self, the sound which you can hear from yourself, if it says no, this is not good, then avoid it. Don't make excuses for yourself. I think the biggest hurdle in our development, in our going towards the path of Imam Hussain and going to the sacrifice and going to that status of being companion, the biggest hurdle is making excuses. Those who were in the army of Yazid, it is not that they were not aware of status of Imam Hussain. They were very, very well aware of him. And it not because they were very much forced to do this. Okay, there were forces applied on them, but most of them had excuses. Even Umar ibn Sa'd had excuses. And he, with this excuse, he went there and he fought with Imam Hussein and he killed him. With very simple excuse. And what was his excuse? He said, if I don't do this, my son and my children will be killed. So he said, your children, and you killed the children of Imam Hussein and Prophet. It was a very simple excuse for him. So I think, first thing, what we should avoid, don't make excuses. Look at yourself. If it is right, you will do. And if it is wrong, you don't do this. Okay? Though I do accept that sometimes it is not excuse, it is our limit. We cannot cross our limit. Okay, this is acceptable. But my excuse is in the nature which you can understand from the event of Umar ibn Sa'd. Don't make this. The further point which I want to add here is how to develop ourselves. Yes, I want to get benefit from the traditions of the Prophet or Aima. Somehow we have heard and we have read a lot of books, or you see, we have seen a lot of movies, documentaries. Unfortunately, beside all these, when it comes to Holy Quran, when it comes to traditions of Holy Prophet, and when it comes to tradition of Aima Athar alayhi salam, most of us are unaware. Most of us. And I don't know how it happens. You cannot expect anyone to say something which is 100% correct. They are not innocent. But we go through their books. And when it comes to the personality which we believe they are 100% correct, and we don't pay attention to their books, to their sayings. When we are sure that these sayings are 100% correct, and these sayings are going, these sayings will lead us to the right path, I don't know how we don't pay attention over them. So you go through the traditions, and the beautiful part of the tradition, it gives you the rules of your life, with the guidance, pure guidance of your life. One of the traditions I have noted here, it says that if you have four qualities in yourself, you will get all the virtues of this world and the hereafter. Sometimes in the early stages of my education, when I came to these traditions, if you have these four qualities, you will get everything. Honestly, I was not very much serious about these traditions. But gradually, after getting experience from my own life and from the experiences of my teachers and my colleagues, I realized that these are wonderful rules of life. You cannot avoid them. And they are very summarized. If I go through my life for 26 years or 30 years, 40 years, then I will understand a few of these laws, which are very well explained in very simple words. So this tradition says that if you have four qualities in yourself, you have all the virtues of this world and the life hereafter. And what are the four qualities? First one, a tolerant body. It says that your body should be tolerant. Make yourself, prepare yourself to tolerate. I think this tradition has no way to be mentioned here in Norway. When you have minus 20 or 17 outside, your body should have been tolerant, otherwise you could not survive here. So first thing, you have got 25% of all the virtues, that your body is tolerant body. Okay, the first thing is tolerant body. Okay, it is, though it can be misleading, because if you have all the luxuries, all the facilities, and you say, my body is tolerant, it is not enough. Get into trouble sometimes, and then see, is my body really tolerant, or I have the luxuries, and I thought I am tolerant. So, first one is, your body should be tolerant. Second one is, in Arabic, it says, badanan sabira. The second one is, lisanan dhakira. Remembrance of Allah. Remember Allah. If you are a person who remembers Allah. Now, what is zikrullah in my country at least? People used to say that if you say, always say Subhanallah, 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 this is remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah. This is Zikrullah. But then I realized, no, this is not Zikrullah. This is just a will. This is just reciting words. This is not Zikr Khuda. What is Zikrullah? That you remember that there is Allah. Presence of God in your mind. Feeling that I am in the presence of Allah. So whatever I am doing, whatever I am listening, whatever I am watching, Allah is looking at me, and one day I have to be accountable for all these things. So first one is badanan sabira, second one is lisanan dhakira, the third one is qalban shakira, be thankful to Allah, be thankful. Now, I told you, in my early stages of my education, I said, okay, what will happen if I'm saying thank you Allah, Alhamdulillah, and if I don't say that, then after at least 26 years of this experience being religious student, I realized, no, this can make the world, make the change, the whole universe can be changed, just simply with thinking good about yourself, and just thinking that Allah has given so much of bounties to me. Now, a documentary is here, I think you might have seen it, Down the Rabbit Hole. Down the Rabbit Hole. There is a documentary, it is available on YouTube, I think. At least I had seen it some months back. Down the Rabbit Hole. If you could find the time for this documentary, it says that it proves through quantum physics, not from religion, none of them were Muslims. It proves from quantum physics that even those non-living beings, which we call non-living, they are living actually. They can understand and they get impact from us, not only from our saying, but even from our thinking. So go through that documentary, it's wonderful, I think. So it says, the third quality says, Qalban Shakira, you must be thankful to Allah. If you are thankful, you can change your world. And if I accept what had been proved in that documentary, it is very easy to understand how it can change your world. And so many documentaries later on, they come with the same message, that your feeling in the heart can change everything. And the last one is very wonderful, very good. It says, a pious life partner, Zawjan Salaha, a good partner for your life, the four qualities. If you have, you have all the virtues of this world and that world. First one is badan and sabira, tolerant body. Second one, lisan and dhakira, remember Allah in your mind. Third one is qalban shakira, be thankful to Allah. And fourth one is a good partner in your life. It can change your life, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So I think if we pay attention to all these traditions and try to understand, even from four points, for example, you try to understand just a single point, pay attention over it, and try to do something for it, it can change your life. You cannot, for example, if I say six qualities should be in a person, then you will get this and that, and I don't have six qualities, okay, try just single one. Make some change. And sometimes just a single step every day, a very small, single, simple step every day, it can change the whole thing. Most of us don't change our life, don't pay attention on our life to change. So we are stuck on somewhere and we don't realize that we are stuck. If you take a simple step every day to change yourself, to improve yourself, to develop yourself, your life is enough to do this. Otherwise, God has not asked you to do this. Your life should be enough for this. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. God has given the responsibility according to your power, your strength. So you have this strength, you will do and you can do this. Now going back to the case of Karbala, if you compare to these two armies, two group of people, first one is more than 70, or maybe around 750, and the other one is maybe 18,000 or more. If you compare them and see how this bunch of people, group of people, go towards Imam Hussain and they got this status, and what happened with those 18,000 or all people? They could not make the way and they stuck with the Yazid. The Yazid, you compare them. First point which I want to tell you here is some sort of attachments. This group on the right side, which came to Imam Hussein, they could overcome to their attachments. They could make good decisions. And the other one, with the Lashkar-e-Yazid or the army of Yazid, they could not overcome to their attachments. You will see so many examples here. Not in the case of Hazrat Abbas, which has just one attachment and which was for Imam Hussein. Not in the case of Hazrat Akbar, which has no attachment with the worldly desires, but in case of companions, other companions, they were simply people. They were not innocents. They were not, came from heavens. They're just earthly people. They were worldly people. How they overcome their attachments. And I think if I could explain this, the word attachment, I say, you are living here and naturally you belong to someone. Naturally, you are attached with a lot of things. But the real attachment which should come in our life should be from Allah. Abdulul Amal al-Hubbulillah wal-Bughzulillah. So the best of the acts is to love for Allah and is to be enemy of, to be enemy just for the sake of Allah. So if you see in this world, you have so many relationships. All the relationship must be graded according to the will of Allah. And if you apply your own love and your own hatred, it is called the attachment, which is the negative side of your life. So if someone is very much attached to his reputation, someone is attached to his wealth, someone is attached to his luxury, he cannot make the good decision. I think every incorrect attachment always be a hurdle in the right decisions. So check your life. Check your life. These attachments are sometimes very deceiving. Very deceiving. In an event I mentioned here, one of the great teachers of ethics and morals, Mullah Muhammad Naraqi, he had written a book, Jam'u Sa'adah. It's a wonderful book. And one of the readers of his book, he was a very simple person, living without anything, for example. And he came to see this great teacher of ethics, and he saw that he has so big home and so much business and servants serving him. And he thought, how this person wrote a book about ethics and morals, such a great book, and he himself, this businessman and servants and home and constructions. So he was wondering over him, and he asked him, can I spend a few days with you? Mullah Muhammad Naraqi said, yes, you can be with me. And he spends a few days, and then he spelled out his fear, that I was not founding, but I was thinking in you. He said, what's wrong with me? He said, you are attached with these words. You have home, you have servants, you have businesses, and you are talking about ethics and morals. He said, just be patient. What do you want to do now? He said, I want to go to Karbala. He said, okay, I will come with you. He said, no, I will go alone, because you, with this huge business and setup, you will take so much of days to wind it up, and then you will go to Karbala. He said, no, right now I will move. I will leave everything behind, and we will move for Karbala right now. Are you ready? He said, yes, I'm ready. So they moved towards Karbala. And this guy who visited Mullah Muhammad Naraqi was wondering, how can he just left everything? And then in the middle or somewhere towards Karbala, he said, I should go back. The visitor said, I should go back to your city. He said, why? He said, though I love to go to Karbala, but I have forgot my bowl. You see, they have a cup-like thing to put it in front of other people who, you see, put their money in it. He said, leave it. I will buy for you two or three more from Karbala. It's just a bowl. He said, no, I like that bowl, and because of that, I will go back there and bring that. He said, just wait a minute. You said, I am attached with this world. I left every servant. I left my home. I left my business without wasting a single minute for it. And just because of one single cup, you are leaving Karbala and you are going back to my city and you are asking me, you cannot tolerate this, you see, losing the cup. So who is attached? This is the deceiving part. Sometimes we think we are good, we are not attached, and we will sacrifice it at any time. We can do this. But in fact, if we go through in ourselves and we find how much we are attached, test yourself, then you will see this is not very much, this is not very easy. So it needs to be tested. Claims are not enough. Claims are not enough for a big, you see, journey towards Allah. So check yourself and you will see this is not easy. So if I just want to say, I can say for Imam Hussain, I will sacrifice everything. But I am not tested. I have not been tested yet. So, for example, I ask myself, if one of the servants of Imam Hussain came here and he says that, okay, you can sacrifice everything for Imam Hussain? I say, yes. Okay, don't deliver any speech from this day up to your death. And I have been doing this for 26 years. So can I sacrifice it? And if I do this, I will lose everything. Because this is what had brought me up here. So ask yourself, are we really ready? And sometimes, and now you pay attention to the characters of Imam Hussain, companions of Imam Hussain, how they overcome their attachments, how Hazrat Hur could leave all this. You see, he was the commander of Karbala, Battle of Karbala from the Yazidi army. He was commander there, the army which was going to win the battle. Then he left it and he joined Imam Hussain, which was obviously, apparently going to lose the battle. But he joined it. How he could overcome all this attachment. And the beautiful example here, I think, was of Zuhair bin Qayn Bajali. Zuhair bin Qayn is one of the companions of Imam Hussain. And he was traveling, he had not started his journey with Imam Hussain. He was traveling separately. And he was not intending to go with Imam Hussain, actually. And actually, he was avoiding Imam Hussain. So whenever Imam Hussain used to stay on a single place, he used to stay on the other one, just to avoid Imam Hussain. Then Imam Hussain sent a messenger to his camp, and the messenger said, Imam Hussain is calling you. He said, okay, tell him I will come. I will come. If I thought it is good, I will come. The messenger got a strange feeling. Imam Hussain, his grandson of Prophet, he is asking you to come, and you say, if it was good, I will come. So he said, okay, I will deliver your message. He went there, and now the beautiful part, wife of Zuhair bin Qayn, she came forward and said, I thought you were a brave man. How come you say that? You said, I will think. Should you think? Grandson of Holy Prophet calling you for help. And you say, I will think about it. I thought you are a brave man. Why you have not gone there? He said, because of you. You are my weakness. I cannot leave you. He said, but why am I weakness for you? He said, I can sacrifice my life for Imam Hussain. I know Imam Hussain is only calling for my life. He don't need anything of myself. He's just calling for my life. So if I go there, I will die. And I will be shaheed. But I'm fearing about you. She said, what is your fear? He said, I can accept to be insulted. But I cannot accept you to be insulted. Because of myself. This is my attachment. So this is very clear. Zuhair bin Qayn said, I'm attached with you. I can accept to be killed. I can accept myself to be insulted. And I know what Bani Umayyah will do. He was a very clever person. He was very well aware well what Bani Umayyah will do. So it was clear in his mind that when he will be killed, his wife will be taken as a prisoner. It was clear to him. So he said, I cannot accept being insulted, you being insulted from me. So if you insist me to go, I will go and I will divorce you first. She said, no, don't do this. Then now, how a weakness can be changed into a strength? Look how it is very, very important. She was a weakness for him. Now, all of a sudden, this Mu'mina, the believer, true believer of Imam Hussain, changed herself into an strength. She said, I have heard the sister of Imam Hussain is coming with him. Is it true? He said, yes. She is coming with him. And she is with him. She said, don't you think if Bani Umayyah insulted Imam Hussain, they will insult Hazrat Zainab? He said, yes. So he said, Imam Hussain is aware of that? He said, yes, he is aware. Now the calculation is very clear. If Imam Hussain is accepting something for Bibi Zainab, why you are not accepting it for me? You should accept it. And what is the essence? This is not insult. If you laid your life in the path of Imam Hussain and you are insulted, actually you are not insulted. Inna al-izzata lillahi jamia. All the pride, all the dignities are from Allah. So if you have sacrificed yourself in the way of Allah, in the path of Allah, those who are insulting you, they will be insulted, not you. So look at this caravan of prisoners. They were rounded up here and there, and their enemies were trying to insult them, they wanted to disgrace them. But now, how is this point? Everyone going to Karbala, visiting Imam Hussain, visiting Bibi Zainab Salamullah Alaiha, and getting blessing for them. So, the message which I wanted to deliver today is, compare the armies. You have a task to do. You have so many challenges in front of you. You are in a very good time. I always do think, and though I cannot convey it very good, but I always think we are in a very, very good time. This is a rare period of history. It comes after hundreds of years. And you are luckily in a very good time. And I will try to explain it somehow in the later lectures. But the main point is, test yourself, check your attachments. And don't be deceived by your normal life. That is, I'm okay. No, you may not be okay. Check yourself. Can you sacrifice your attachments for a right thing? If you can, with checking yourself, if you can this, maybe you will be successful, inshallah, when it comes to the bigger test. So this is the essence, inshallah, check yourself, try to improve it with single or permanent steps, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
If there was any questions, slash suggestion, or anything you wanted to share. Yeah, please.
Yeah, okay, I have a question. Can you tell us about the Shafa'a, and how can we get okay. The Shafa'a?
Yeah. What is the meaning of Shafa'a? Shafi and Shafa'a is to take someone with you. If you are Shafi, it means you take someone with you. And in the religious meaning of Shafa'a, when you go on the Day of Judgment and Allah asks you for your deeds, for your personality, then someone will come and will take you with him or her to the better place, to the heavens or any other. Now, this is the concept of Shafa'a, of course. And how we can get Shafa'a? Can we depend on Shafa'a and do nothing for ourselves? A simple meaning, paying attention, or the meaning of Shafa'a. What is Shafa'a? Being with someone who will take you. So, first thing which you have to do, prepare yourself and make yourself reach to that person actually. And if you could not reach to that person, then he cannot be Shafi for you. He cannot give you any Shafa'a. So, if I wanted someone to solve my problem, at least one thing I should do. I should reach to that person and convey him that I need his help. Now, in our times, it happens so many times that a good concept being misunderstood and misused, and one of them is the concept of Shafa'a. So some people think that because we have Shafa'a, we don't have to do anything. Imam Hussein will be Shafi for us, and he will give us Shafa'ah, so we can avoid prayer, we can avoid fasting, we can avoid being good, and we can have any sort of character, and inshallah Imam Hussein will be Shafi, and he will give us Shafa'ah. How it comes? Is it possible that Imam Hussein break the rule of Allah and allow us to go to heaven without being asked? I think the essence of your question and the answer is we have a minimum level of goodness which we should achieve with the love of Imam Hussein. Then Imam Hussein will take us to the heaven, and this is his shafa. But this minimum level of goodness or character is required for getting shafa. Now, a quotation from Holy Quran, Surah Taha. Maybe it was 44th verse, I think. But tomorrow I can give you the exact number. It, Surah Taha might be verse number 44. It says that these three or four qualities, with these four, you see, qualities lacking in a person, no Shafi will give him any Shafa.
Okay? Those four you mentioned?
No. The four I will mention inshallah tomorrow, inshallah, I try to mention them. There are three or four qualities. If someone is missing those four qualities, then no Shafi can give him any Shafa. فَلَا تَنْفَأُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. No Shafa'at of any Shafi will give him any benefit with those four qualities missing. So it says very clearly that not everyone is going to get Shafa'at. There's a minimum standard. If you come to that minimum standard, you will get Shafa. Otherwise, no. Yes?
Yeah, as you mentioned about fasting, yeah. Me, myself, I decided to fast, and then suddenly, I cannot, my body cannot compensate in that fasting. Okay. I'm just wondering what is the advantage and disadvantage of that fasting.
Okay. Actually, in case of commands from Allah, we have a first stage of acceptance, and then after that, you have to accept it. For example, if you came to Norway, you have a choice whether you come here or you don't come here. But you cannot say, I will come to Norway and I will drive on the left side. If you came here, then you have to obey the rules. This is what we have in Islam. You come to this religion and you obey Allah, you say that, okay, from now on I will obey Allah. Then here comes a command from Allah. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ آتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَرْكَوْ مَعَ الرَّاكِينَ. So many commands from Allah. Now, can you have the choice? I will see the command. If I could understand, I will do this. And if I could not understand, I will not do this. I don't think so. So, in the starting, you have the option whether you opt for it or not. And then, after that, because you have accepted that He is the Creator, because you have accepted that He has all the logics, and you have accepted that He is very much merciful with me, so whenever He gives you a command, it is in your benefit, and you will do this. Now, just in one case, which might be your problem, which you mentioned, that you started fasting, and then all of a sudden you realize that, no, I am weaker to accomplish the fasting up to the end. I think we should not decide, the doctor should decide it. If you ask the doctor and you say that, okay, I'm feeling some sort of weakness and I have an obligation, religious obligation, to fulfill the fast up to the time of Maghrib, for example, will you recommend me to do this, or you think it is so much harmful to me that I cannot do this? So if the doctor says that it is harmful for you, and if you do this, you will get something which is not tolerable for you, then you can break the fast. But simple hardship, it should be accepted, because fasting is actually accepting the hardship. It is for hardship. So if you are running for a marathon, which is 30 kilometers, you cannot ask the organizers to make it 3 kilometers because I cannot run. This is for those who can run, and you are in it now.
Thank you, I'm satisfied.
Not necessarily I could answer everything, but I will try my best. So if there were any further question, you may ask it, or inshallah, I will try my best to, you see, answer the other question too.
This brother had a question.
Yeah. Assalamualaikum.
How important to cry for the Imam?
How important?
To cry for him. How important it is to cry for
him? To cry for Imam.
With tears.
Yeah. Actually, you mean with tears or without tears, just have a sympathetic heart for him?
Yeah.
First one, with tears or without tears?
With tears.
With tears, okay. Being in love with Imam Hussein is what being asked by the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet said, "Ma as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba." It is in the verses of the Holy Quran. Holy Quran says that, "O Prophet, tell them, I will not ask you for anything for my job which I have done for you, except you love my family." So, love for Imam Hussein is what Allah has asked us to do. So, having love for him is good, is necessary. Now, whether crying for him is necessary, crying with tears in your eyes, I don't think it is compulsory. I don't think it is compulsory. But if you love someone and you see him sacrificing everything, and you see so much dignity, so much grace, so much, you see, high level of humanity in him, maybe without any intention, you start crying. Maybe without even intending to do this, you start crying. But if someone says that, "I have a sympathetic heart for Imam Hussein, I have a love for Imam Hussein, and I love him, but I don't cry with tears." Okay, it's okay. It's not wajib to, you see, cry with tears. So, but I do feel that very rarely a mother will not cry for her children. Very rarely. So if a mother sees her children in trouble, she cries. Normally it happens. So I think if we have a real love for Imam Hussein, then somehow we will cry. Okay, but it is not compulsory. Just having a sympathetic heart for him, just having love of Imam Hussein is enough.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.